Welcome back for another deep dive. Today, we're going deep into the world of statistics.
Always exciting.
I know you think so. Specifically, we're trying to get a better grasp on p-values and this thing called Bayes factors.
Right.
And, you know, we always like to have really good sources for these deep dives. And
absolutely.
Our listeners have sent us some fascinating research papers, including some by a statistician named Eric Jan Wagenmakers.
Oh, yeah, Wagenmakers. He's got some really interesting ideas.
Yeah, and he's proposing this thing. It's called the 3OP error rule. I'm sure that makes sense to all our listeners.
Yeah, well, we'll unpack
it. Don't worry. We will unpack it in plain English. And it could actually change how you interpret data.
It really could, yeah.
So to help us navigate these sometimes murky statistical waters, I brought in our expert who just so happens to find this stuff fascinating.
It's true, I do. I mean, p-values, Bayes factors, these aren't just like these abstract concepts, you know? They're tools that can help us make better decisions about our research.
And that's what this deep dive is all about, giving you practical insights to level up your research.
Right, yeah.
So let's start with something I think that everybody who's listening uses probably all the time, p-values.
Right.
You're constantly running these analyses, calculating these p-values.
Constantly.
But what are they really telling us?
That is the million-dollar question. A lot of people, I'll admit, I've been guilty of this myself in the past, but a lot of people fall into this trap of thinking that the p-value is the probability that their null hypothesis is true.
Right, right. You get that exciting p-value of 0.05 and you're ready to, like, you know.
Significant. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we've got a finding, you know.
Yeah.
Champagne.
Exactly. Celebration. But hold on a second. The p-value is not telling you the odds of your effect actually being real. What it's telling you is how likely you are to observe the data that you observed, or even more extreme data, if there were actually no real effect, if the null hypothesis were true.
Okay, so that clarifies it a little bit more, but why does that distinction matter so much?
Because, as W. Edwards pointed out, way back in 1965, p-values are violently biased against the null hypothesis.
What does that mean?
It means that they make it way too easy to reject that null hypothesis, even when it might be a perfectly plausible explanation for what's going on. And so that's where these Bayes factors come in as a potentially more informative alternative, because instead of just focusing on, you know, how unlikely are these data under the null hypothesis, Bayes factors are comparing the predictive power of two hypotheses, right? Your null hypothesis versus some alternative hypothesis that you're interested in.
So instead of just trying to rule something out, you're looking at the two and saying, okay, which one of these is actually...
which one explains the data better?
More likely.
Yeah. Yeah, which one's doing a better job? And that can be a really useful way to think about it.
So Bayes factors, I mean, is this like the latest...
yeah, are we jumping on some bandwagon?
Statistical trend.
Right.
You know, we don't want to do that here.
The latest fad diet. Exactly. No, this actually goes way back. I mean, the foundations for this were laid by Harold Jeffries in the 1930s.
Okay, so really...
he was doing this stuff a long time ago.
Yeah, a pioneer in this area.
Yeah, he was really a pioneer in Bayesian statistics. And his work laid the foundation for a lot of what we're going to be talking about. In fact, Sear Geyser wrote back in 1980 that Jeffries' work... basically, he said that he had provided Bayesian solutions for pretty much every problem in statistics.
Wow.
That's a bold claim, but that's how influential he was.
So we're tapping into some really classic statistical wisdom with this Bayes factor approach.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty cool.
And this is where Eric Jan Wagenmakers comes in.
Right.
He dives deep into the work of Jeffries.
Okay.
And specifically this thing called JB.
JB.
It stands for Jeffries Approximate Bayes Factor.
Catchy.
I know, right? Super catchy.
Yeah.
Sounds really technical.
It can sound a little intimidating, yeah.
But the idea behind it is actually pretty elegant.
Yeah, it is.
So Jeffries, you know, he wanted to find a way to make this Bayesian hypothesis testing more practical, something you could actually use.
Yeah, something you could calculate, you know, because back then you didn't have fancy software doing it for you. It was all, you know, pencil and paper.
Okay, so how does JMB do that?
Well, basically it gives you a way to assess the evidence for one hypothesis over another using just two pieces of information that we're already pretty familiar with, the p-value and the sample size.
Wait, so you're telling me I can get some valuable insight from my data?
Yeah.
Without getting lost in all those complex Bayesian calculations?
Exactly. You don't have to be intimidated by the, you know, the hardcore math.
I like that. I like to keep it simple.
Yeah. And you know, the best part is, Jeffries himself, he actually wasn't a huge fan of getting bogged down in super precise calculations. He famously said, "We do not need the Bayes factor with much accuracy. He believed that just getting a general sense of what the evidence was telling you was more important than obsessing over the, you know, third decimal point.
I like his style. Sometimes I feel like too much precision just muddies the waters.
It really does. Okay. Yeah, you lose the forest for the trees.
Okay, so JB gives us the big picture. What is that big picture for our listeners?
Well, it basically tells you how much the data should shift your beliefs. So imagine you have a hypothesis, right?
Okay.
And you start with a certain level of confidence in it. We call that your prior belief. Now, you go out, you collect some data, you analyze it. What JB does is it helps you quantify how much that data should actually change your confidence, what we call your posterior belief, in either direction.
So it's like weighing the evidence for and against.
Exactly.
Our initial assumptions.
Are we more confident now in our original idea, or does the data actually push us away from that?
So a really large JB then would be telling us that.
A really large JB would be like, hey, you know what? You might be onto something with your initial hypothesis. The evidence seems to support it.
Okay. I'm sure.
Whereas a very small JB would be like, maybe we need to reconsider. The data is not really backing up what you initially thought.
This is fascinating. And it's amazing to think that Jeffries was onto these ideas decades ago.
Way ahead of his time, yeah.
It reminds me of something else that I've encountered. The BIC, Bayesian Information Criterion.
Right.
People use it for comparing different models, and it's quite popular. Is there a connection there?
You're spot on. There is absolutely a connection. In fact, Jeffries J-by-B is very, very closely related to the BIC. They're practically the same equation. They're just formulated in slightly different ways. So again, Jeffries, way ahead of his time.
I love how this deep dive is connecting these seemingly different statistical concepts.
Yeah.
It's giving me a much more holistic view.
Right. It all ties together.
But let's bring this back to our listeners. So this JAB concept, I mean, it's intriguing and all,
right.
But how can they actually use it?
Right. So that's where Wagonmaker's three-piece rule comes in. He takes Jeffries JB and gives us a very simple, practical tool to apply it. Think of it as a shortcut to Bayesian thinking.
Okay, now you're speaking my language.
Yeah.
Simplicity and usefulness. So tell me, what is the 3PF rule? You're telling me there's a shortcut to Bayesian thinking? I'm all about shortcuts when it comes to statistics, especially if they're reliable, you know?
And that's the beauty of the 3PF rule, right? It's surprisingly straightforward, but it gives us these remarkably accurate approximations of these Bayes factors.
So how does it work? Walk us through it.
Okay, so it's all based on your p-value and your sample size. So let's say you run your analysis, you get a p-value of 0.05
okay.
with a sample size of 100.
Which in the world of p-values might have us tempted to say significant, right?
Exactly right. We might be tempted to get all excited and
break out the champagne.
Exactly. But now we're going to put on our Bayesian thinking caps here.
Right.
And we're going to say, okay, 3P Ching rule, it's got three different zones depending on what your p-value is.
Okay.
In this case, 0.05, that's less than or equal to 0.1. So we're going to start by multiplying that key value by 3. So we get 0.15. And then we're going to multiply that by the square root of our sample size, which is 10.
Okay.
So we end up with 1.5. That's our approximate Bayes factor.
So instead of getting all caught up in does it cross that 0.05, is it significant? Mm-hmm. We would have this Bayes factor. What does that 1.5 tell us?
So a Bayes factor of 1.5 is actually telling us that the evidence here is pretty weak. It's barely nudging us away from thinking that the null hypothesis might be the better explanation.
Oh, wow.
Right. So even though we might have gotten excited about that p-value, when we actually quantify the evidence using this Bayesian approach, it's like, not so fast.
So interesting. And this is where the sample size comes in, right?
Yeah.
Because a p-value of 0.05 with a very small sample size means something very different than a p-value of 0.05. with a very large sample size.
You got it. And that's the beauty of this 3P fun rule. It takes that into account. It's incorporating that sample size directly into the calculation. That's why we multiplied by the square root of our sample size. And so if we had a larger sample size, we'd end up with a larger Bayes factor, reflecting that there's more evidence there.
So this rule really is giving us a much more complete picture than just those p-values alone.
Absolutely. It's like this built-in reality check to prevent us from, you know, jumping to conclusions too quickly.
Exactly. So we can say, okay, this p-value looks interesting. Let's see how strong that evidence really is, given our sample size.
Exactly. Ask those tougher questions. And the really cool thing is, if you actually went through the more complex process of doing a full Bayesian analysis, you'd probably find that the result you get is pretty darn close to what we just calculated with our little 3P sum rule.
That's reassuring. So we're not sacrificing accuracy for simplicity here.
Not at all.
It just seems like this could be incredibly useful for, you know, researchers, analysts, anybody who's working with data and trying to draw meaningful conclusions.
Absolutely. I mean, this is relevant across so many different fields, and the applications go even further, right? So Wagon Makers also talks about this idea of optional stopping, which is particularly relevant in fields like medical research.
I've heard of that. That's this idea that you're kind of peeking at your data as you go.
Exactly.
And as soon as you get that significant p-value, you stop.
We're done. We're done. We found it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And he shows very nicely how when you do that, your p-values can bounce all over the place. You can get a false sense of certainty. But the cool thing is that those Bayes factors, they tend to be much more stable over time.
Oh, wow.
Giving you a more reliable picture of what the evidence is actually telling you.
That is really valuable, especially when you're making decisions that have, you know, real world consequences.
Absolutely. And in fact, he's even developed a really neat visualization tool called the Edwards-Jeffries band, which helps you visualize that range of plausible Bayes factors, which can be particularly helpful when you're dealing with those smaller sample sizes.
I feel like we've only just scratched the surface of what we can learn from Wagon Makers and this Bayesian way of thinking.
Oh, there's so much more to explore.
I know. But if there's one key takeaway, one thing our listeners should remember from this deep dive, what would it be?
I think the biggest takeaway is this. Move beyond that simple p-value thinking and start thinking about the strength of evidence. Don't just rely on whether a p-value crosses some arbitrary threshold. Use tools like this three-penema rule to get a more nuanced, a more accurate understanding of what your data is really telling you.
It's about asking more informed questions. It's about really digging into the nuances and making sure our conclusions are truly supported by the data.
Well said.
Big thanks to our stats expert for guiding us through this fascinating deep dive into the world of p-values, Bayes factors, and everything in between.
My pleasure. As always, happy to talk stats anytime.
And to our amazing listeners, thank you for joining us on this journey of statistical discovery. Remember, we're always here to help you unpack those complex topics, and we're always eager to hear your deep dive requests. Keep them coming. Until next time, happy researching.